we kind of have a series scripture. It's really not in our lessons, so in the sermon so much, but I just feel like it matches with this series that, and it's Jeremiah 29:11. We've been quoting it every week. Let's quote it again today. It's on the back wall. It's on the screen. I'm going to start. Just jump in with me if you remember what it says. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you what? Hope. And what? And a future. Amen. So we are in a series entitled Destined to Win. Your path through it is already there. This is part 8. So there's a powerful principle I want to share with you today out of Psalms 77, 14 through 20 is where we're going to start. And it says this, you are the God of great wonders. You demonstrate your awesome power among the nations. By your strong arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. When the Red Sea saw you, O God, its waters looked and trembled. The sea quaked to its very depths. The clouds poured down rain and thunder rumbled in the sky. Your arrows of lightning flashed. Your thunder roared from the whirlwind. The lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Now get verse 19. It is so important. It goes right along with that song we were singing on Waymaker. You know, it may not look like, but he's what? Always working. So look at verse 19. Your road led through the sea. Your pathway through the mighty waters. A pathway no one knew was there. Which implies what? The pathway was there. Just no one knew about it. Verse 20. You led your people along that road like a flock of sheep with Moses and Aaron as their shepherds. Page 1, number 1 of your insert. Notice that God created a path in the middle of a great sea. The scripture is a reference, obviously, to the Exodus story of how God delivered the nation of Israel from the Egyptians. It is specifically talking about the parting of the Red Sea. And understand the pathway was there all along, but no one knew about it. There is a path that is running through every adversity that you will ever encounter in your life. No matter what kind of obstacles that you're facing, no matter what kind of barriers you may be confronted with, no matter what kind of walls may be standing between you and victory, know that there is a pathway that runs through it. What this psalm tells me is that God is always working behind the scenes. He's working on our behalf, even when we can't see anything happening, even when we can't feel anything, and even when it looks like defeat is at our doorstep. You know, the idea of God working behind the scenes is a revelation that I've walked in for many, many years. And if I didn't honestly believe that every time I face an impossible looking situation that I knew God was working behind the scenes, I don't think I'd be able to endure it. I wouldn't be able to persevere. I wouldn't have the drive. I wouldn't have the motivation. Knowing that God is working on my behalf, whether or not I can see it, whether or not I can feel it, is what has kept me going during the times of my life where it looked like I couldn't go any further. Now let's continue on in the Exodus story, Exodus 14, 10 through 12. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and they cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us into the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in this desert." So now you just heard what they said. It'd been better if you just left us alone. But these are the exact same people that had been begging God for deliverance their entire lives. They cried out to God and he sent Moses for them to be their leader. But they didn't like Moses. Why not? Well, because he didn't handle the deliverance the way they thought it ought to have been handled. You know, they walked out of Egypt a free people. They took the gold and the silver of Egypt with them. I like to say it this way. All the back wages for all those hundreds of years, they got paid up front. You know, they got paid as they were leaving. So they took the gold and the silver of Egypt with them. And so They're celebrating, they're dancing. You know, the day they like Moses. They're leaving Egypt. The people are dumping the gold and the silver on top of them as they're leaving. They're walking out. And the other thing it says, because of the Passover lamb, the night before, what does it say? That there was not one feeble person among them. Every one of them were healed. Now imagine in those primitive times, 3 million people, let's say, all healthy, all whole, all leaving. That's a parade right there. All loaded down with silver and gold. And they're loving it. Until they come face to face with the Red Sea. And in their minds at that point, it looked as like it was over. It looked as though Moses had led them into defeat. So let's say this. You're in a service. And you get a revelation of something. God just speaks something to you. And it's like, you are just like, wow, I'm going to take this. I'm going to go do something with it. So what's going on in their life? They just had Passover. The firstborn of Egypt, they're all dead. None of the Israelites' children died because they put the blood over the doorpost of the home. So they're free from that. Not only that, as they ate the lamb, everybody was healed. They're leaving. They've done all this. They've heard a good word. They're excited about God, excited about what God's doing. And they're marching out, and boom, they hit the Red Sea. Let's pull this into the New Testament. Anybody remember what Mark 4:15 says? Oh, I'll remind you. It says that Satan comes when? Immediately to steal the word that is sown into your heart. So whether it's this, you know, the God has just shown himself big, and now the armies of Israel, of Egypt, are coming after them. So Satan has come immediately to steal the word of freedom out of their heart. See, he has no new tricks. What exactly he was doing there is exactly what he'll try to do to you. You get a revelation of something, you get excited about something in the Word of God, you get something inside of you just gets going, and you take that first step, and bam, the Red Sea hits you right in the face. You are blocked in. There's no way forward. The enemy's right behind you. There's no way back. You are in a mess. He comes immediately to steal the word. But let's look at the rest of the story. You know, anybody except me ever reached that place? I mean, I've been there. You've been there? There's a story I once heard Kenneth Hagin Sr., Dad Hagin, say. He said a woman once came up to him and asked him to pray for her that she would never have another negative thought. And he looked at her and laughed and said, if I could pray that for you, I'd already prayed it for myself. Number two in your insert, all of us are vulnerable to negative thoughts. But the important thing is that we don't dwell on negativity. We need to learn how to cast negative thoughts and negative emotions out of our lives. The Israelites were in an impossible looking situation. They were what we call in Texas between a rock and a hard place. That they couldn't turn back because Pharaoh was either going to kill them or put them back into slavery. They couldn't go forward because there's the Red Sea in front of them. In the natural, it looked to them, it looked to them like all Moses did was just stir, all that preacher did was just stir us up and build us up and build our hopes up and look where we ended up. And in their minds, it's all over. You have to remember that they didn't know God could part the sea. They'd never seen him do it. They didn't have the book of Exodus to go read. They're living out Exodus. And not one of them said, oh, now, wait a minute. I think I see a path running through the Red Sea. Why? Because the Bible says the pathway was there, but no one knew about it. It has been there for quite some time. In the same way, the path that God sets for your life is already there as well. Now, I'm going to show you some slides. I think I've shown these two times in services in the past, but they fit here, so I want to show them again. Because I want you to see something. Let's go ahead and start those slides, if you would, please. Okay, so up at the top left-hand corner, you see the green? What does it say in the green? Land of Goshen. Where did the Israelites live? In the land of Goshen. And then they were slaves all through. But they lived in the land of Goshen. Now, if you'll look, they leave and they come across the wilderness and they end up, you see where that arrow is? Kind of about like the under where it says wilderness, kind of next to the last S. You see a little white sliver sticking out there? Go to the next slide. Okay. Now you can see it a little bit closer, right? Still there today. So there's a path. And so they're going down this path. And they find this place. Now, that path is surrounded by mountains. And so once they go down, the Egyptian army comes down too. Now, we know what happens. If you go back and you read the whole story, as the Egyptian army comes close, God puts up a tornado of fire. So the Egyptians can't go forward. So they're stopped. Israel's stuck. Would you say you're stuck? If that's where you are you stuck? All right. Let's continue on. So that's a very large piece of land. Continue on. Now, look at this representation of the depths of the water. There's a very deep side at the bottom, right? And a deep side at the top. But what's right between that piece of land and the other side? Shallow water. All right? And that's how it is today. Now, do you understand that whole section that's light blue today, you are not allowed to go there to do any kind of exploration or anything. You can't go in that section. When you get over to the Syria side, it's all fenced off. You can't go there. Go on to the next slide. So, you know, there's Charlton Heston back, you know, 1950s. And this is when the water's caving in on the Egyptians after Israel got across. All right, you can keep going. Okay, so there's a more topographical site of how it is even today. Now, did anybody know that was there? No. Keep going. Now, if you do go underneath there, which people have, you'll find things like this. What does that look like? Actually, it's a stake with a wheel around it. Keep going. That's what's inside of it. If you look at it through x-rays, that's what's inside of it. Keep going. What does that look like? A chariot wheel. Keep going. What does that look like? Chariot wheel. Keep going. This one would have been from a high official, because what is it made out of? What would withstand all those thousands of years and not grow anything on it? Gold. Still there. Go ahead. Now, you get over to the Syria side, and these carvings match the dates of when Israel escaped and left from that spot to the other side. That's what you face. What does that look like to you? An Egyptian on what? A chariot with his horse, right? Okay. Now, keep going. You can't go in there anymore. Syria has completely blocked all that off. They do not want pictures. You can't go in the water anymore. You can't go on the Syrian side anymore where all the carvings are that date back to that time period, to the 18th dynasty. You can't go there anymore. Keep going. But even with the fence, there's rocks you can see. You can't see it in that picture, but there's carvings. Keep going. Sacrificial animals that date back to the period. Keep going. And that just is close-ups of some of those engravings. Keep going. And what does that look like right there that dates back to the 18th dynasty? Huh? A menorah. Can't go in there anymore. Do you understand that even today, Egypt denies the held Israel in captivity? Is that the last slide? I think that's the last slide. Okay. So Israel is stuck. But there's a pathway that no one knew was there. Number three on your insert. Do you know that God knows everything about your life? Do you know that He knows everything that you will go through from now until you get to heaven? God is never surprised by anything that happens to you. The Bible even says in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that He gives you the guarantee, it's a guarantee, that He will not allow Satan to put you through anything in your life that you are not able to bear. Whatever you're going through right now, God has already determined you have got what it takes to make it through. You're able to endure it, persevere through it, and come out the other side victorious. Now let's read that verse, 1 Corinthians 10:13. I'm actually going to read it out of the Message. Let's read it. No test or temptation that comes your way is beyond the course of what others have had to face. What does that mean? We all go through life. We all got to deal with stuff. All you need to remember is that God will never let you down. That's why that Waymaker song was so appropriate to end worship. He'll never let you down. Now get this, because this is such a promise. He'll never let you be pushed past your limit. At some point, you know, we don't understand the grand cosmos of things, right? But at some point, you have a level of faith. And whatever happened when Satan, when Adam signed the earth lease over to Satan, and Satan became the god of this world system, at some point, though, in that, it's like, okay, God can't step in because we're free moral agents. But if you push somebody past the limit of where they're able to stand it, God says, okay, now you're cheating, and He's not going to permit it. Are you with me? He will not allow you to be pushed beyond your limit. He'll always be there to help you come through it. Now, Moses told the people in Exodus 14:13-14, don't be afraid. Just stand still, stand still. What does that imply? Be at peace. Get rid of the fear. Get some peace about you. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord Himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. Moses' advice to the people was easier said than done. I mean, we're emotional beings, right? Page 2, number 1. What do most people do when they're going through something that looks impossible? They do the opposite of holding their peace. What do? They panic. They freak out, you know, and they start, you know, they start griping and moaning and whining and complaining and crying and asking the most stupid Christian question that you could ever ask is, why, God, did you allow this to happen to me? Have you ever tried to talk to someone who's in panic mode? It's almost impossible to calm them down. And this is what the people of Israel were like when they were staring at the Red Sea in front of them. But God was saying, you watch. I'm going to do something. I've been working behind the scenes. I have had something prepared since you started crying out to me for deliverance a long time ago. I already have a path created through the Red Sea. And I think it's interesting that the Israelites' very problem became their answer. And so that begs the question, could it be that the very thing that you're going through right now could turn out to be your solution? You know, you might be going through the greatest financial difficulty you've ever had. Well, that could mean that you're about to experience the greatest financial breakthrough you've ever had. Why is that? Because great victories come out of great battles. But the people of God couldn't see this. All they could see was a Red Sea. Just like maybe in your situation, all you can see right now in your life is a mountain of debt or the strife in your family or the job you just lost. Moses had sense enough to believe what God had told him, even though he didn't know that there was a path in the middle of the Red Sea. What do we call that? Faith. God said, I got a way out of this for you. And Moses saying, I can't see it, but I'm believing. God asked Moses, and here's the thing, man. Exodus 14, 15. God had already told Moses to take the people to the promised land. Does that include all of them being slaughtered by the Egyptians before they get across? So God, you know, Moses is standing there. The people are whining and complaining and wanting to kill Moses, wanting to go back, wanting to do this. And God says, why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving. Another translation says, tell them to go forward. You need to understand God's direction in your life is always forward. It's never backward. So what's God telling them there? Because God works by what? Complaining? Whining and being disgruntled? How does God work? By faith. So in their particular situation, what is their faith action? Take a step towards the water. That's all God needed them to do. Tell them to get moving, Moses, so I can honor their faith and do something. Throw that staff in the water, tell them to get moving, and watch what happens. And it's the same thing God says today. You're up against it. You're against your Red Sea. And I don't mean this to sound, you know, mean, but God's sitting there going, I gave you the book. I gave you the promises. I gave you my word. I gave you my son. I gave you my Holy Spirit. Why are you crying out to me? Just get moving and start doing something. And so God's direction is always forward. And it might seem like all you're doing is taking baby steps. It doesn't matter. Baby steps are moving forward. God didn't tell the people of Israel to retreat. He commanded them to move on, and Moses continued on in Exodus 14, 16 through 18. God told Moses, pick up your staff and raise it over your head. I'm sorry, raise your hand over the sea. Divide the water so the Israelites can walk through the middle of the sea on dry ground. Say dry ground.
Dry ground.
God doesn't do half a job. It's not like you're going to have to go through the mud. Because with what are they carrying out of Israel? I mean, out of Egypt. What are they carrying out of Egypt? The gold and the silver. I mean, it's heavy. All right? So they can't go through mud, dry ground. God does a complete work when he does a work. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they will charge in after the Israelites. My great glory will be displayed through Pharaoh and his troops, his chariots and his charioteers. When my glory is displayed through them, all Egypt will see my glory and know that I am the Lord. We all know what happened next. The Red Sea parted, the Israelites went through, and the Egyptian army drowned. Psalm 77:19 says, your road led through the sea, your pathway through the mighty waters. In order for those people to find the path that no one knew was there, they had to be willing to obey. They had to be willing to take a step of faith. And how would you like to have been the person at the front of the line? You know, Moses took a leap of faith and obeyed God. Are we ready to take a leap of faith and obey God? The people took a leap of faith, trusted what God would say and Moses would say, and they went forward in obedience. Because now think about this. You've just been through all the plagues of Egypt, and the Egyptians had to deal with all the plagues, right? You just saw the firstborn of Egypt die, right? You just left Egypt, and now you're at the Red Sea. And now God says, get going forward. Moses plants his rod, the Red Sea parts, and now you have these huge walls of water. The ground's dry, and God says, go on. Now, even when you're going through your answer, if you look side to side, what happened to Peter when he looked side to side?
He lost faith.
He lost faith and he started sinking when he was walking on the water, right? So these people, 3 million of them, have to get through here. So that water has to stay separated for a long time. And then once they get to the other side, God lifts the tornado of fire, and now the whole Egyptian army has to get in there before he collapses it back. But my point is, even when you're going through the answer, if you look side to side, that could be a little scary. Is that right? I mean, if you're walking through a war zone and they tell you you're okay, you can go through, but there's enemy soldiers all along that wall with guns pointed at you, you're still going to feel a little bit, you know, I hope they all got the word, you know? Right? So if you put them in their place, I mean, Moses and Israel, even going through the answer. And see, when we get there, we want the answer to be, you know, a field of tulips. The answer may look, I don't like the word scary, but the answer may look scary. Because that would look scary. Number two, you may be looking at a Red Sea right now and wonder, what am I going to do? I'll tell you, move forward. And sometimes the only move forward is to get in your prayer closet and cast the negative thoughts out of your mind, cast the negative thoughts out of your emotions, and start praising God. Because if you stop going to church, if you stop going to church when you're full of adversity, you're not going to move forward. If you hang around negative people who say, oh man, you know, I tried that church stuff and it just didn't work, you're not going to move forward. You got to get around some winners. You've got to get around people who have a right attitude about life and about God. Get around some people who know there is a path that runs through your situation. The devil, he's good at getting you to say things that'll blind you and limit you and restrict you and trap you. Proverbs 6:2, very familiar scripture, we know it. You are snared by how? The words of your mouth. Satan has convinced us to say, I can't see any way out of this. And that is probably one of the most devil-inspired statements to ever come out of the mouth of a believer. I just can't see any way out of it. I heard somebody say, I can't believe something unless I see it. Well, when God says there's a path that runs through it, of course, you can't see it. If you could see it, it wouldn't take any faith. But since we don't govern our lives by what we see, we govern our lives by faith. We walk by faith, we don't walk by sight. We don't have to see a path to believe it's there. Do you believe you have a brain? Some of you, I wonder at times, but... So I understand with x-ray equipment and MRIs and stuff, or if I split your head open, I can see you have a brain. But just to stand here and look at you, can I see you have a brain? Can I see you have lungs? Can I see you have a heart? Can I see the air in this room? Do you believe it all? It's all there? Do you believe you have a brain? Do you believe you have a heart? Do you believe there's air in the room? You can't see it. Then why do Christians make that dumb statement? Well, you know, I can't believe it if I can't see it. You believe things all the time you can't see. I mean, do you believe a plane can fly? Can you see the law of aerodynamics? But do you believe it's there? Because why? Because planes fly. So you believe in things you can't see all the time. So why is it so hard to believe what God says? You believe what man says. You believe what the TV says. You'll even be dumb enough to believe what CNN says. And that's about the dumbest thing you can do. You've got to believe deep down in your spirit that there is a path. You have got to be convinced of this no matter what you're going through, and especially no matter how many people try to discourage you, and just because they've never found their path. Contrary to what happened to them, and contrary to what you may have experienced in your past, you have got to believe that somehow, some way, no matter what you're going through right now, there's a path that runs through it. A path is running through your adversity. A path is running through every test. A path is running through every trial. A path is running through every impossible looking situation. I can tell you with 100% conviction that God has never let me down. Now, there have been times I was wondering if he was going to show up or show up late. But he's never shown up late, and he's never let me down. He's always crafted and created a path for me right in the middle of every experience that I've ever had. God is no respect for persons, and I know He'll do the same for you. If you are ever going to discover this path, though, you're going to have to learn to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Now, Richard and Margarita had a path to follow Thursday evening. They had one kid praying in tongues. They stood in a circle and they prayed. Then 30 minutes later or so, Grandma just felt like she had to go upstairs, the boys' room, to the bathroom, into the attic. Just felt like it. You've got to be willing to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because what would have happened, maybe, if you got a board burning in your attic, is it probably going to go out on its own? Probably not. And so what would have happened if they hadn't prayed? Well, they probably would have missed the path. What would have happened if Grandma Betty had not heeded the unction of the Holy Spirit? They may not have a house today. God prepares a path that we don't see. What would have happened if Richard had come to this building a week ago Friday, 2 hours earlier? He would have left, text me, everything's fine. What would have happened if he'd come 2 hours later? Well, we'd have just sat here and watched the building flood until a plumber could have got here. My point is, there is a path running through it. When we read that verse a minute ago in Corinthians, it said what? It said, you know, there are problems. The common problem, man, problems are common to man. It's just how you handle the problem and how bad does the problem get. Well, if you follow the leading and the prompting of the Holy Spirit, you can't cut off every problem, but you can minimize those problems. And so, yeah, are they going to go through some hassle? Yes. But the mercies of God save their home, save their family, save everything. Are we going to go through some hassles in the building? Yes. But if we hadn't walked in here till Sunday morning and this entire building was full of water, that would have been a whole lot worse than having to deal with a few walls that we got to punch some holes in and fix some floors and those things. So problems are common. How do you deal with them? Well, one, you don't freak out. You don't lose your self-composure. You don't, just go nuts. What do? You watch and listen for the prompting of the Holy Spirit. But if you're not living a life that allows you to listen to that, if you're not praying, if you're not visiting with God, if you're not praying the Holy Spirit, if you're not doing certain things, your heart's going to get callous and you're going to miss these clues that God gives you, even though there's a path already there. So God's going to put the path there, but is He going to make you take it? No, He is not. Number three on your insert. If anybody knows where that path is in the middle of your problem, it's the Holy Spirit. And that's the reason God has filled us with the Holy Spirit, not so that we can be called Pentecostal or tongue talkers or anything like that. The Holy Spirit is our guide. And He wants to lead us to the path of victory and a good life, a path of increase, a path of barriers coming down, a path of doors being opened, a path of the goodness of God, the path of God's best, the path of everything God wants us to have. 1 Corinthians 2:11 and 12 says this. Now, here is something that is amazing. How many of you have ever heard a Christian say, well, you never know what God's going to do? You never know what God's going to do. Well, they never read 1 Corinthians 2:11 and 12. No, and if they had, they stop at verse 11. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. Period. End. I'm not reading anymore. See, you never know what God's going to do. You never know what He's thinking or what He's going to do. Well, keep reading. And we have received God's Spirit, not the world's Spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. How do you know what God is thinking? Because you have the same Spirit as God. And so we have the ability to know exactly what God wants us to do. The Message says it this way, verse 10, that the Spirit brings out what God planned all along. And I find that encouraging. I don't know about you, but one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to bring out or reveal what God has planned all along. And He knows where that path is. He knows how to get you on that path. It's His job to bring it out, but you got to give Him some time. You know, we want this microwave God, and He's not a microwave God. You have to learn to be sensitive to Him. Exodus 14:30 tells us, the Lord saved Israel that day. And that's what He wants to do for you. That's what He wants to do for me. That's what He, you know, we have a testimony that He saved us, delivered us, and brought us to victory. We need to learn to line up our words and our thoughts with what God says. And don't focus on the circumstances. Focus on fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit and endeavoring to be sensitive to His leadership. Ask Him to reveal to you God's plan. Ask Him to reveal to you the path that God has for victory. If you don't hear anything when you're praying, when you're seeking God, anybody ever been there? I've been there. It's like, okay, I hear nothing. God, are you talking? I'm here. What are you supposed to do then? Just keep listening day after day. And let me make another suggestion. Don't ever act out of confusion. God is not the author of confusion. If you're ever confused about going this way or that way, or taking this job or that job, or moving here or moving there, don't act on it yet. Why not? Because God is the author of peace. If you do whatever you're going to do out of uncertainty, you're going to make a mess of it. You will make an even bigger mess of that situation if you act on uncertainty. Wait for the peace of God. Wait patiently on the Holy Spirit. Wait for peace and then follow it. Psalms 84, 5 through 7 out of the Passion. How enriched are they who find their strength in the Lord. Within their hearts are the highways of holiness. Now look at verse 6. Even when their paths wind through the dark valley of tears. So what will we read a little while ago out of Corinthians? That we all go through stuff. Problems are common to man. So verse 6, even when their paths, doesn't say if their paths, it says even when their paths. Even when their paths wind through the dark valley of tears, they dig deep to find a pleasant pool where others find only pain. He gives to them a brook of blessing filled from the rain of an outpouring. So two people face the same problem. One freaks out, and the other, they're both going through hell. But one freaks out, and the other one stays focused on God. And what does it say? That person digs deep, and they find a pleasant pool where others find only pain. Verse 7, they grow stronger and stronger with every step forward, and the God of all gods will appear before them in Zion. Verse 6 says again, the dark valley of tears. When we experience challenges in life, it can drive us to tears. Anybody ever had that happen? Life just slapped you so hard that it just drove you to tears. It can create sorrow. It can make you feel sad and oppressed. And most of us have visited that place several times in our lifetimes. The writer of Psalms, however, encourages us by talking of paths winding through or our paths through that dark valley of tears. The Amplified says it this way, from strength to strength, increasing in victorious power. God doesn't want you living in the dark valley of tears. It's not a place you want to stay in very long. And what did David say? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He didn't know, though, God, I'm going to camp there. He said, I'm going through it. The people who know how to properly visit this place, pass right through it, and when they come out the other side, they are stronger. Because what did he say? He said, if you'll go through it and you'll keep the right attitude, you'll dig deep, then you'll find pleasant pools. During this hell hole, you'll find pleasant pools that others find only pain. That you'll find a brook filled with rain of his outpouring where others are miserable. And when you come out of it, instead of being all beat up and beat down, you're going to be stronger and stronger with every step you take. So they come out of the same problem, but they come out victorious in power. And that's exactly how God wants you to go through life. He wants you he wants you coming out of that place with strength, power, and victory. You know, I've discovered that when I am in that dark valley of tears and I can't see God's path, then that is when I need to pray in the Spirit more. You need to do the same thing. When you get up in the morning, pray in the Spirit. When you get dressed, pray in the Spirit. When you go to have lunch break, pray in the Spirit. When you're driving to work, pray in the Spirit. When you're taking a shower, pray in the Spirit. When you go to bed, pray in the Spirit. What happens when you do this? You're giving the Holy Spirit an opportunity to reveal to you where that path is. Number four in your insert. There's a path running through whatever you're going through today. God's already provided it, but you have to enlist the help of your guide. You're going to have to get some assistance from your helper. Spend some time with the Holy Spirit, and you'll find that the path that runs through your problem, that it'll lead you straight to your victory. You have a helper, and he wants to give you insight, and he wants to lead you to the place that God wants you to be. And that's part of being a winner and letting the winner inside of you out. You must learn how to deal with God as he deals with you. If you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, or you haven't really been using your prayer language, you're missing out on God being able to show you your path through your problem. It's already there. All we have to do is listen. All we have to do is be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And as you do this, you will see how he will move you forward, and you'll see your path to victory appear before you. And that path, again, it's already there. It's already waiting on you. How long are you going to stay in the dark valley of tears? How long are you going to tolerate this situation in your life? Let the Holy Spirit take you forward. Let the Holy Spirit be your guide. Let the winner that God predestined you to be, arise and take you to your place of victory. Be the child of God that God wants and needs you to be. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Stand up, child of God, and be counted. It's time for the whining and complaining to stop. There's a path that runs through your problem. But until you can get out of your valley of death there, pull yourself up. Because what do you say? Those that push through, those that stay strong, they're going to find a spring where everybody else finds sorrow. There's enough sorrow in this world. They don't need me to participate. I just assume not participate, and then do what they want. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here this morning, you're watching me, listening to me, and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are on your own. But you don't have to be. You can join this family of believers, learn about God, learn about the Holy Spirit, learn what Jesus did for you on the cross, and you can become the man and woman that God intends for you to be strong in the Lord. If you are saved, but you'd say, well, Pastor, I am part of that complaining and griping bunch, and I really don't stay strong in the Lord, and I know I'm going to heaven, but man, I have to deal with so much pain all the time. I'm not one that's strong through the battle, but I want to be. Well, the only way to do that is it just takes renewing your mind, and that takes work. That takes getting into the Word of God, learning who you are in Christ. But I tell you, it is worth it. the price that you'll pay for that is so much less than the price you're paying for living in misery. It's worth every moment you put into it. So if you're here this morning or watching or listening to me and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord, or you want to rededicate your life to Him today, if you're here, you can just lift a hand. If you're watching or listening, thank you. Thank you. If you're watching or listening, you can just acknowledge this before God, because that's what's important. Let's all say this prayer together. We can. Let's just say it. Father, in Jesus' name, I come before you recognizing that Jesus died for me so that I could be a child of yours. I want to be a strong child. I want to be a committed child. Jesus, you paid a high price for me. You died for me. You suffered for me. I receive the salvation that you provide for me. And I dedicate my heart and my life to live for you, study your word, and become strong in the things of God. It's in your name I pray. Also, if you are not baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you say, what is that? I'm not going to take a long time, but I just want to give a quick introduction to what that is. When the church began and they were getting people saved, the disciples show up to this one town and they have heard the preaching of Jesus and they've accepted Jesus. And then they say, the disciples say, well, have you received since you believed? And they said, received what? They said, received the Holy Spirit. And they said, we didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. So the disciples laid their hands on them and prayed over them, and they received the Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Now, what is tongues? Tongues is just simply a prayer language. And if you come from a denominational background and you've been so pre-doctrinated that that's not for today or whatever, you need to go ask God about it. But don't get mad at me about it. You know, we're not going to argue over it. If you don't want it, don't take it. But I'm telling you, it is a powerful gift, and it's as easy to receive as salvation is. The price has already been paid. But here's the weird part about it. So you say, well, is that all it is? No, no, no. It's not all about tongues. Tongues basically just allows the Holy Spirit to pray through you the perfect will of God. But then because you're filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit, it's about listening to that guide and that helper. It's about what Richard did a week ago Friday when he texted me about the building at a certain moment at a certain time. It's about Betty going into the boys' room, the boys' bathroom, into the attic at a certain time, at a certain moment. If she'd gone a little earlier, there may not have been any smoke for her to see. If she'd gone any later, it may have been too late and the attic's on fire. You see, God's timing is there. There's a path through it. But you have to be sensitive. And being filled with the Holy Spirit allows you to do that. It's just another gift God has. It's another tool in your tool chest. Well, how do I receive it? Simple. You just ask Him. But then you have to be willing to open your mouth and sound like a three-month-old. Because you have to speak a language you don't know. And then over time you learn to understand parts of it. Sometimes God will tell you what you're praying about. Other times He won't. Well, how do I know if I really got it? I'll tell you a simple way. If you're talking to me and you try to count to 10 in your head, you can't talk and count to 10 in your head at the same time. Your mind will not do that. Why? Because you're using your mind to talk. If you're praying in the Spirit, it's not you talking. The Spirit is just using your vocal cords. And you can pray in the Spirit and you can count to 10 and you can do anything else you want to do. Why? Because your brain is disengaged. Your mouth is hooked up to the Holy Spirit, and your brain is disengaged. Well, how do I get it? You just say, if you want to say this prayer with me, just say it. Father, in Jesus' name, I want the Holy Spirit of God to overflowing in my life. Holy Spirit of God, I give you this body to live in and dwell in and work through. I receive it in Jesus' name. And you say, well, what do I do now? You just open your mouth And you say, well, what's it going to do? Well, some people, it's like, you know, it's like my granddaughter. You know, she's, 10 months old now? And so she's making little sounds, but they're not words. And some people sound like that. You know, they'll say, ta, 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 ta. Well, what's that? I don't know. The Holy Spirit knows. Don't ask me. Or some people will get a whole language immediately. It doesn't matter. Because if you only get ta, 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 it's like any language. You practice, and the Holy Spirit's going to just start building. And eventually you're going to be like, oh, raquetiendo, yaha, no, ya tu su, tipu shukarata sandai, su, pete kuta lando, pakaratia shando. And it becomes a language that you pray. And so it is a tool that is powerful. And if you want it, just you've prayed the prayer, get in your car. You know, normally I call people up here, but right now people watching out there would freak out. And so if you want it, get in your car and just open your mouth and say, God, fill it. But then you have to actually let him fill it, because your mind's going to say, this is dumb, this is stupid, this is weird. And you just have to open your mouth and let him start talking. And once you start, just go. And then stop. And then start again. Because what you need to understand is you are in control. You can turn it on and turn it off just like any language you speak. Right? Okay. So, we are blessed. There is a path through every situation in life. We have been predestined. Say predestined. Predestined. To win in life. And for us to be predestined to win and know that there's going to be problems and know there's going to be what that verse called the dark valley of tears. If I know that when I hit that dark valley of tears, that if I'll just stay strong, stay faithful, and keep moving forward, God has a path through it. And while everybody over here is parched and dry and has no life and is trying to survive and trying to get through it, I find springs along the way. And they come out all beat up and bloody, and I come out stronger than ever. And that's the way I intend to live my life, and I pray that's the way you intend to live your life as well. Father, I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you that it has every answer to every problem we will ever face in this life. I thank you that it is a roadmap to success. And I thank you, Lord God, for that, and I receive it. I thank you, Father, for blessing these people, blessing the people watching. I thank you, Father, that the blessings of God are upon us and upon them and upon this house. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Angels of God, I dispatch you into this next week to go forward and prepare our way. Go forward and keep things out of our way. Put things in our way. Do the things you need to do to keep us on the right track, successful and whole. And I thank you for it. Be blessed, child of God. Have a great, anointed, prosperous, blessed week following the path that's already there. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. And with that, you are dismissed. And to those that are watching online, God bless you. Have a great week. And for those that are here, if any of you can stay and help us stack chairs.